It's What's New from WBAA Classical. I'm John Clare. We're featuring Pulitzer Prize-winning composer David Del Tredici. We'll hear some recent releases of his music and speak with him on today's What's New. Coming up, we'll hear a piano work played by Beth Levin on her new release, Bright Circle. But first, I had a chance to speak with David Del Tredici about his child Alice and a new recording from BMOP, the Boston Modern Orchestra Project. Congratulations. I know this was like the second performance of Child Alice, but I think it was really the first because there was just one singer this time.
It's the first time it was done the way I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
In the beginning, the other performance, it was so long and exhausting, they didn't believe one singer could do it, or if she could, she'd be boring. I think that was the rationale, so they got three, but it proved to be untrue, I think. It has much more unity with one singer, and she's a wonderful singer, and so that's not a problem of boredom or whatever. I'm thrilled with this performance. It's an epic recording. I never thought I'd hear it in my lifetime, let alone have it recorded. So I'm very happy with this.
David Del Tredici speaking from his apartment in New York City on What's New. You can find out more on facebook.com/whatsnewWBAA, including playlists and podcasts. In November 2017, BMOP released Child Alice, recorded 25 years after it won the Pulitzer Prize in Music. Courtney Budd joins BMOP and conductor Gil Rose in the first part, In Memory of a Summer Day, on What's New. What's new with the November 2017 release Child Alice, featuring the Boston Modern Orchestra Project, conductor Gil Rose, and soprano Courtney Budd. We heard David Del Tredici's In Memory of a Summer Day. You can find out more at facebook.com/whatsnewWBAA. When we return, more from David Del Tredici on What's New. It's What's New. I'm your host, John Clare. Coming up, we'll hear more from Child Alice and BMOP. In March 2017, Navona released a piano disc with Beth Levin. It included Brahms, Schubert, and a work by David Del Tredici. I spoke to Beth about Bright Circle, social media, and more.
I think, you know, the Schubert, I had worked on two other Schubert sonatas just before, and I wanted to just kind of keep going and play the A major next. And then Brahms Handel, I had worked on a long, long time ago, and it felt like a good time to come back to it. And, you know, just see, I think it kind of grew and it got better, and I knew it would be very good this time. And then, you know, I asked David Del Tredici if he had anything that kind of went with those pieces or had something in mind, and he did have a piece that was based on a Schubert song, so I just went with that.
Yeah, I think that's a fascinating story to have had made this arrangement, you know, and that they'd asked to do this. And so,
yeah.
You know, to include that, I think is just very charming in it. And I wouldn't have guessed listening to it again that it might have been a transcription of a song of a transcription, mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, it doesn't lose anything in the music at all.
Right. Well, I mean, I remember looking at it and learning it and then going to David's house and playing it for him and thinking, oh, God, he's going to hate this. I was so scared to play it for him, but fortunately, he seemed to really like it. So,
Beth Levin speaking about Bright Circle, now available on Navona Records. Let's hear Ode to Music by David Del Tredici with Beth Levin on What's New. Beth Levin was the pianist in David Del Tredici's Ode to Music on What's New. Learn more about this show on facebook.com/whatsnewWBAA. It's What's New, I'm John Clare. We're listening to new releases of composer David Del Tredici. I had a chance to speak with David about his Child Alice, now out on BMOP Recordings.
I think it has to be especially satisfying having, you know, spent 5 years on a work like this to finally have it where you'd like it to be.
Yes, and I've heard parts of it always. People will do parts of it, but never the whole thing, the whole shebang. It's in glorious sound and everything, so I'm really happy. It was a crazy piece to write. Completely crazy. Certain things you only do when you're under the age of 25 or 30. It's one of those pieces. I just didn't care who would ever do it. I wanted to write it. I was full of the fire of the story. Got me going, and Alice, and also mostly the Lewis Carroll part, the older man, you know, looking at these, making up these verses for the little child. And I don't know why. I was just a young guy. Why I would be so interested in the older Lewis Carroll, but I was.
And I think it's quite interesting and creative to, you know, it's a little bit of a mystery. We're not sure what that relationship was. And I think that there's a lot of beauty and a lot of mystery that comes through with that music. And I think so many people know the novel, but they may not know what was behind it. And I love that
right.
The inspirations came from the annotated version.
Yes, that was a great help to get the Martin Gardner annotated Alice. And that's why I said my whole idea between setting the same poem twice was to bring that out. Like you say, the first time from the child's point of view, him telling the story, and the second from how he felt telling the story, looking at these little children, him so much older. So it was a unique, for me, musical opportunity to take the same material and completely change it, the child version, the adult version. I don't know why, but that occurred to me as a musical possibility that I liked. It wouldn't have happened in any other kind of, I can't think of another poetic situation where that might happen.
Between the first and second parts, I know that the first part had won the Pulitzer Prize, which was so awesome and lovely and even sort of a style change. Had you always thought of having a larger working and knowing that there would be a part two?
Well, I actually wrote it all at once in one, and then I divided the child into parts and to get a commission. So different parts of it were commissioned at different times, but no one would put it together. They couldn't believe it. Oh, my God. Because in Memory of a Summer Day, which won the Pulitzer Prize is already an hour long, so that's not exactly an encore piece. So they thought that was quite enough. They didn't need another hour and 15 minutes tacked onto it. But I was thrilled. When I won a Pulitzer Prize, it was quite shocking to give it to something with my kind of tonal style, which was very much in opposition to the style of the day, which was atonal and very serial and cerebral. This came along, you know, with, you know, white passions, hot passions, and lots of 1/6-4 chords and every other kind of chord. It's a completely tonal burst. It really seemed like, I don't know, at the time. But I only did it. I only could do it because I said, I'm going to make this story come alive. This is about the story, not about the style of the day. So I made it very vivid for me in with the tonality. I couldn't do it with atonality. I just couldn't. It was not the province of atonality to do charm and wit and whimsy, all those characteristics of the Lewis Carroll novel and the Victorian times.
Did you ever think back in 1968, and I'm sure I'm not the first to equip this, that you'd go down this rabbit hole, that you'd spend, you know, 25 years artistically looking at Lewis Carroll and his works?
Absolutely not. In fact, I called Final Alice, because I thought that would be the end. I certainly couldn't do more than that. This was before I wrote Child Alice. So, no, each one was like, oh, my God, not another one. But, you know, what comes out, and you have to deal with it. You don't really control that aspect of creativity.
Well,
you're just thankful that something's coming out that's pushing you in a direction.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I imagine, I think it's also was a wonderful creative solution not to, you know, set text per se, and even things like the mouse's tail that come in different works that, you know, sort of outdo George Crumb, you know, in a very wonderful visual score, to look at...
Well, that was another aspect of Lewis Carroll I liked, was the puns and the visual things. I love that. What do they call it? Emblematic verse, poems that look like the thing they're writing about. So in the shape of, if you write about a pot, so the poem's in the shape of a pot. So I wrote about a mouse with a tail, so in the shape of a tail. And it took a long time to figure out, but what if it looks like a tail on the page, what will it sound like? It has to sound good, yet look like a tail, because tails don't have a sound. So it was a kind of a conundrum, which I loved having. A Lewis Carroll type thing. He liked puzzle.
Well, we look forward to so much more, David. Belated happy 80th to you, and we're looking forward to the next 80.
Yes, okay. I hope I get well into my next 80. Thank you so much, John.
Composer David Del Tredici on What's New. Let's hear the final portion of Child Alice, All in the Golden Afternoon. Courtney Budd sings with Boston Modern Orchestra Project and conductor Gil Rose on What's New. Gil Rose conducted BMOP with soprano soloist Courtney Budd on What's New. We heard David Del Tredici's 1981 All in the Golden Afternoon, the final portion of Child Alice from a November 2017 release. You can find out more on facebook.com/whatsnewwbaa, including playlists and podcasts. What's New is a production of WBAA, a listener-supported broadcast service of Purdue University. Production assistance from Erica Yon and Kevin Howard. The executive producer is Greg Kostraba, and I'm your host and creator, John Clare. Thanks for listening to What's New.